Oh, yeah, it's another TPP, Team Profile and Projection. Jake is with me. Trevor Plouf is with me. We are at the Sun and Fun RV Resort.
Gotta go.
In Sarasota, Florida. Sun is shining down brightly. Will be blinding me in like a second, actually.
It's piercing.
And we're going to be talking about your Cubbies. The Cubs.
Love the Cubbies.
World Series champs. Kind of a decent amount of time ago now, right? 2016?
16,
yeah. This was supposed to be a golden kind of age for the Cubbies. I guess they got to be a sleeper team.
World Series, though, that year.
Yeah.
It's the Indians.
Fantastic.
You had the Raja Davis home run up Chapman, but then the eventual Cubs victory.
Yeah. That was a great
Good
game.
For you guys.
Congrats, the Cubs.
Congrats.
Well, we usually start the show with what they added and what they dropped.
Not much.
And for the Cubs, it's not much. Cole Hamels is kind of a decent loss.
Yeah. And Castellanos
really helped them towards the end.
Yeah, he did.
He was special for them.
Big Castellanos fan right here.
But they didn't really add anyone, which I thought was kind of interesting.
They had one of the most quiet off seasons, except a late non-roster invite that I know my guy Trevor Plouf is all about.
Yes.
Who's that?
Spoiler alert, Jason Kipnis.
Oh,
Chicago
okay.
native. All-star.
All right.
Two-time all-star, maybe.
Maybe. I like his swing. I was saying that in the Indians mini-episode. I was saying Kipnis, he just looked like a threat to me, just the way he stood. Really no analytics behind it.
He's a ball player.
Yeah.
Gotta love that about him.
They did add Jeremy Jeffries on a weird, like, really cheap contract.
Yeah,
if he figures it out,
it's good. If not, it's nothing.
Yeah.
What do you mean figures it out? He's figured it out. He's a good pitcher.
He struggled last year, dude.
You know what? People struggle sometimes.
He got released.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. That's really it. I mean, the nucleus of this team is still the nucleus of this team. There's a lot of rumors about trading Chris Bryant to clear space. They didn't do that. I thought that was dumb. But it's still Bryant. It's still Rizzo. It's still Baez. Still Schwarber. Still Contreras.
You'd like them to trade Chris.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
You said that. You thought it was dumb they didn't trade it, or you thought it was dumb there was rumors about it?
It was dumb there was rumors.
Yeah, me too.
I said from the start, I didn't.
This is still a really good team.
Yeah, look at everyone I just named. I said, like, even they were talking about trading Contreras because cap space, that's some Mookie Betts shit. Like, I was saying that's dumb.
Yeah.
Try to win. You're really
These
good
guys
squad.
Are all relatively young, too. Besides, Jason Hayward's probably a little older now, but I don't even know his age. But looking at this lineup, I mean, they're all.
He's 30 and 30.6 years old.
I mean,
not that bad.
He came up young.
Yeah. And their rotation still pretty decent. You got Darvish, Quintana, Hendricks, Lester, and then Chatwood, who was hurt last year and now on a contract year. Quintana's also on a contract
year. Can we start with the pitching a little bit? Because I think the main chunk of this Cubs lineup, everyone knows. Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Contreras. I mean, all the dudes we just named. The pitching, and I'll kick it to you, Trev, because I should have asked this before, but did you face Darvish?
And I faced all these guys. I'm looking at the projected starters. I faced them all.
Did you face Dirty Darvish or Sloppy Darvish?
I faced Texas Rangers Darvish, and he was very good. There's actually a GIF that is out there that I've put out there as well because it's so funny.
Lean into it.
He was balling in Texas, throwing 96, and he hit me with one of those Bugs Bunny curves.
Oh, really?
And I was so far out in front of it. It's a funny clip. So, like, and I got a lot of shit for it. Like, people were, like, you know, like, posting it. And it was, I think it was on the not top 10, maybe, stuff like that. Little known fact, I got a hit off him.
Okay.
At a bat. So, but it was a bad swing.
Every story ends
And I'm
with
okay
that.
With it being shared because it's, like, so ridiculous. It just kind of shows how hard it is.
John, when you see the rotation, do you think Darvish, I mean, sticks out? Like, if he has a good year, we've got the Cubs in it? Or do you think that's not a big of a factor?
I see a lot of guys past their prime.
Okay.
Like,
interesting.
Darvish, well, you just called him. Did you face Dirty Darvish or did you face Sloppy Darvish?
Right.
He had a better year.
He had a big second half last year.
He can't win at Wrigley. Is that still a narrative?
I think he got over. He had a really good second half last year.
This is a lot of old media speak we're doing right now. Sloppy Darvish, old Darvish.
I mean, it was a story. But I mean, that's for me, and that's why I brought it up, was that I think if Darvish is lights out one, Like, I think this Cubs team has a lot of merit and is in every conversation. If he's not, I mean, Quintana's going to do his thing. Hendricks, I like, but I think Darvish makes them a different team if he's the dude he can be.
I like Hendricks. I like nerdy, smart pitchers.
Yeah, he's good. I don't think Darvish has to be, like, an elite one guy. Can he be that? Yes, but I don't think he has to be. I think if all these guys, if you look at them, even if they just hit their projections, I mean, we're looking at it right now. You got Darvish projected at a 3.9, Quintana at a 3.9, Hendricks at a 3.6, Lester at a 4.1, and Chatwood at a 4.5. That is serviceable. That is going to get you to where you need to be as a team, especially with their lineup.
I agree with that. I don't think they have a name that you're like, oh, damn. But what they have is five MLB guys. You know what the stat, that the John Boy stat that maybe Trent right. definitely doesn't know about? That's like, I want to call it a compete stat. Like, when he's on the mound, do you have a chance to win? How many times is this dude going to completely blow the game? And these guys, it's not a lot. They're going to fight. They're going to grind. They're going to give you a shot to win every day. One through five. I don't know much about Chatwood, but the first four, those are guys.
Do we have – you guys got the internet up here, and you're looking. Do we have somebody pushing for the rotation? Anybody coming up that we need to know about or talk about?
Not really, man. I was trying to dig in, and if you're a Cubs fan and you know something that we don't, let us know. But
yeah, I'll see if they brought anyone in. In AAA, I got. Let's see. They brought in, not really. I feel like Jarrell Cotton. He's been around.
Oh, Jarrell Cotton. He's from the A's. I've seen him. He's got a Bugs Bunny changeup.
Yeah, he shut the Yankees down one game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I don't know if he's going to come in and just like. You know, be a savior in the rotation, but he's depth.
Yeah. I think they have some depth, guys, and that's all.
Yeah, no top prospect that I think Cubs are slamming the table saying get this guy up or anything like that. But, I mean, Darvish, Quintana, Hendricks, Lester, Chatwood, it feels
– it's a pretty good rotation.
If they're all doing their thing during the regular season, they're going to win a lot of series.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to beat those guys.
Especially with the lineup. And then the new name for the lineup is Nico Horner. I think he's going to make the team out of camp.
No. I did some research on this. He skipped double A and got a few bats last September.
He played a lot in September.
Well, he went off. First 7 days, he just went gangbusters. And he kind of came back down to earth, you know, as people do. But, you know, we know what the Cubs like to do with service time. There's no secret there. We just had a big, long talk about it with Chris Bryant going through it. He hasn't hit AAA at all, and I believe he'll probably start the year in AAA.
So Kipnis is the safety blanket there?
Yeah, Kipnis, and I think there's a couple other guys that could fill that role. I think, you know, we're talking about Bodie. He can step in and play second base if needed. But I do like that non-roster. I mean, I think he still maybe could have demanded the major league deal, but – you know, where we are in the free agent landscape in the game of baseball, guys like that are taking these minor league deals. But I think he's got a good chance to make the team. And I do believe that he is not a safety blanket, but maybe like a placeholder for Nico. If Nico goes and goes off and he's doing the thing and Jason's up there and he's kind of just, you know, he's not tearing the world up. I think we'll see Nico, but I'm thinking right now that I'd pencil in Jason Kipnis at second base for them.
All right. Well, I mean, we're going to see how that plays out. Nico will be up at some point, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
I just, you know, judging on how they handle service time and the fact that he hasn't played at all in AAA, I think he starts the year in AAA.
All right.
It'd be awesome if, like, he goes out and he has a great spring and they just said, hey, it's your job, but it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. I mean, adding to it doesn't really matter either because the rest of their lineup is pretty good.
It's like, really good.
Last year they had, what is this, Jake? They had six guys with a OPS plus over 100.
Yes.
And that includes all the names that you know that I already said and David Bodie?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing they're talking about right now in Cubs camp is who's going to hit leadoff for us. They don't have a prototypical guy. They've had Bryant do it. They've had Rizzo do it. And both those guys have had success. But, you know, traditionalists are like, you can't hit those guys at the top of the lineup. And I'm sitting here like, why not?
Yeah, why not? Do it.
Put high OBP.
Rizzo had a .405 on base percentage.
You put those guys at the top of the lineup. Pitcher comes in, throws his warrant pitches, and Anthony Rizzo steps in the box to start the game off. Chris Bryant steps in the box to start the game off. The pitcher goes, shit, I cannot throw a fastball over the middle of the plate right now because these guys are going to lean back on it, put them in the grandstand.
There's no getting comfy.
One, nothing. I saw it with Dozier when I was in Minnesota. When we had him at the top of the lineup, he wasn't even an on-base percentage guy per se. Decent, but not like these guys. But he had pop, and we liked him there. And I knew pitchers were like, dang. I can't lay one in. And then they kind of get a little bit They get a little bit scared. 1-0 happens. Then they know they got to come, and boom. Yeah. It's a different animal. When you have a guy that can put it in the seats hitting leadoff, it's a different thing for pitchers to, you know, to adjust to.
I've got a good generic sports talk line that I think you'll like.
Okay.
It's I think it's used more in football, but it's the what does the opposing team not want to see? And if I'm the opposing team, I don't want to start off Rizzo and Bryant. It's exactly what you just said. Yeah. If you're going to throw – if you're trying to sneak some on base by Jason Hayward or someone like that so you could get bodies on for those guys, if I'm the opposing team, I'm saying, hey, I would love to attack Hayward first batter of the game. So I think you're right there. And, yeah, I think that is a generic media thing of they shouldn't bat Rizzo, Lita. The sport's changed. Like, he's going to get on out of 40% clip, throw him up there.
Nobody steals bases anymore, right? And if this is a team that only had Rizzo and Bryant and those are your run producers, guys that they hit the ball out of the park, maybe you don't put him at the top of the lineup. But I'm looking at this lineup right now. Say you take Chris Bryant and put him leadoff. Well, you still got Rizzo behind him, Baez, Schwarber, Contreras. I mean, that's Ian Happ's there. I mean, there's guys that can hit the ball to the park behind them. So let them get on base. The lineup turns over, then who cares who's hitting leadoff?
It's a strong top five.
We got to talk about something we haven't discussed yet, and this is what's new with the team. The biggest addition is a new manager.
Yes. Yeah.
And they had a manager that is revered as a great manager, and they parted ways, quote-unquote parted ways, and so we need something new. Because what happened last year? Like, this team's good. And they didn't make the playoffs.
Sometimes it happens, you know. Things don't go their way. Other teams have a – I think when you look back, I think they had a pretty bad September, right?
It was weird. They went – they, like, would make the push, close the gap. They even were in first place at some point in, like, August or September.
Yeah. The Cardinals turned it on.
Cardinals turned it on. Brewers turned it on.
Yeah.
So sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they bring in Ross, who won a World Series. He won a World Series with these guys.
Yes.
He's been a companion, you know, a player with them, and now he's the manager, and that's weird. Like, when Joe Girardi had to then manage Jeter and Posada, it was not, like, fun the first season. There's all these weird stories. He was trying to be authoritative. Doesn't seem like Ross is going to be that guy at all. It seems like he's going to be like, do whatever you want. And is he too lax? I know I'm going to ask you this question. I think I know your answer, but it doesn't matter. I think you're going to say not really.
There's a fine line there, for sure. You know, and I think when you're talking about Girardi, that was a different time. And people expected things out of a manager that they don't expect out of a manager now.
True.
You know, right now, let's face it, it's the front office is pulling the strings. They're going to send the lineup down. They're going to tell him the matchups. Everything's going to be written out for him, including, you know, percentages to use guys off the bench, percentages to bring the bullpen out, when to do it. That's all going to be mapped out already. Okay, so his job as a manager, new age managers know this, and the guys that are successful now, they're guys that can handle a clubhouse and can handle the media, and they can just kind of be that the calming presence, the steady, the steadiness. And I think he's got that. I mean, you know, he wrote a book about being the consummate teammate. So he understands the clubhouse atmosphere, and I think he's going to be able to navigate this just fine. And really, we're talking about managers. It's about the players. I think David Ross is going to do just fine there. I think players respect him. He walks that fine line of respect and buddiness. So that's a tough line to navigate, but, you know, I think Rocco Baldelli does it in Minnesota, and I think Dave's going to do it in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Boone does it.
Yeah. And
Boone does it as well.
I'm interested to see. I don't feel strongly about it either way. But when you think about the names you mentioned, like Rocco, we met him the other day. He was awesome. But none of those guys on the team played with Rocco, maybe one of the pitchers. And Aaron Boone with the Yankees, him and CeCe had played. Now CeCe's gone. But that was the one overlap. I mean, Ross was in it with these guys. And I'm not saying good or bad way, but if this team does have a bad month or something like that. I think that is going to be just a really interesting dynamic because he was there.
I think as a teammate, he was almost the same as he's going to act as a manager, where it's like, yeah, we're buddy-buddy, but
big
when you
bro.
Need to, yeah, when you need to be slapped a little bit, I'm going to slap you a little bit.
All right, I like that. We have the over-under here, which before the show, Trev said, you have a pretty big lean on this.
Well, I don't know what it is. I'm looking at the projections here on RotoWire, but I don't know what the Vegas line is. Do
okay.
You have that up?
Yeah, the Vegas line is 88.5.
Oh, wow.
It's a tough division.
88.5?
Reds are going all in. Cardinals are good.
This has them. I'm looking at a page now that has them projected at 85 and 77. So if it was 85, I'm heavy leaning over.
You're on the over.
But now we're talking 88.5, and that's your when you close in on that 90 win.
This is
number,
from the lines.mlb.com/MLB win totals points bet 2020.
When you start talking about 90 wins, that's the separator between a really good team.
Right.
You get to 90 wins, you had a really good season. So I don't have a heavy lean now that I know that's the number, but I lean that they're going to be close to that number. I think they're going to be in position here. Do I like what the Reds have done? Yes. Got a lot of friends on the pod from the Brewers.
Right.
Like what they have, but I don't think they're going to be there with the Cubs and the Reds. The Cardinals, we'll see what happens with them. If I had to lean, I'm going to lean over.
Okay.
I think there's a little bit of recency bias with a lot of people. Saw what happened last year. They didn't have a great year. Let's not forget, if you look at run differential, I don't have that pulled up, but I remember I looked it up a couple days ago. They still had a very good run differential.
Yeah.
That's kind of telling with the team. So I'm going to lean over on that, and I think that they have a good chance to win this division.
I think it's a great over-under. Like,
yeah.
If you were to tell me the 85 through 90 range, that's exactly where I'd fall in.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the division got better. I think what you're saying is right. Like, they're still really good. That lineup is phenomenal. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to go under. I think it'd be barely under. Like I said, like I don't know if any team in this division is going to really put up like a 90, like mid-90s win season. Yeah. I think they're going to beat each other up. They beat each other up last year, and the Reds weren't even
a part of it.
I like what the Reds have done. I do.
I know. So I think this division is going to beat the shit out of each other. I'm going to take the under.
But you know what? The Reds, what they do, they won the offseason. How many times have you seen a team win the offseason? I mean, the Yankees maybe won the offseason, right? But the Reds had a really good offseason. That doesn't necessarily translate onto the field. I do like the moves. I do think it's going to be tight, but I mean, again, I just think this.
I'm not pegging the Reds to win, like, be an amazing team. I just think they're going to be much more of a hassle for people
better.
In the division.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't know. I also lean under. The division is brutal. Like the Cardinals.
I don't think the division's brutal. You think brutal and like their teams are good there?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Like it's brutal to get through. Excuse me.
So the Cubs, I just found it out. I'm sorry to cut you off. Plus 97 run differential last year.
It's good.
I mean that's really good.
Sure.
I mean they're probably fourth in the league or maybe fifth in the league last year.
And hey, maybe Rossi comes in. They've got some good juice, but I don't know. For me, the Cardinals are just going to be there. They're a well-run organization, like that guy at the top of the rotation. I know you do, too.
Gotta love Jackie.
The Brewers, I mean, they find a way. They push to the playoff line without Yelly. He's going to be back. And then who's the other team I'm blanking on? The Reds. Reds got a lot better. They're the team that's going to dictate this over-under. If the Reds are good, the Cubs are going to be under. If the Reds aren't, the Cubs are over. I'm thinking that the Reds are going to be a pretty good baseball team under.
This is something that I wanted to mention, and I forgot about it.
Mention it.
Cubs, last year, they have a good home field advantage there.
Wrigley.
You know, they know how to play that field. Last year, they were 51-30 at home. That means they were 33-48 on the road. That's going to correct itself. They're not going to go 33-48 on the road again.
Yeah, Madden making them dress up and on all their road trips. They were like, hey,
we're sick of this. Sick of it.
Year four of that? What was it?
Right? Year four of having to wear, like, all camo every time you go on the road?
Yeah,
like, come on, Joe, we're fucking loose. You're tightening us up now.
Yeah. Let's just take it a little step back. I think, you know, even if they get back to close to 500 on the road, I mean, they're going to be a 90-win team.
All right. And we are out. Fun fact, David Ross and dancer Lindsay Arnold were runner-up in the 2007 season of Dancing with the Stars. How about
that?
Big. And we are out. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another mini-episode. Go Cubs! Fly the W. Is that what they say?
Yes, I think so.